One of the things that I wanted to talk about today is from the Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter 13, the part that I just read a few moments ago. And it has to do with what we need to do when things don't go our way. And so in this passage of Scripture that I read to you, you've got a landowner. And he is quite a successful landowner. And, of course, people that become prominent in their society, that attain positions of leadership or whatever, and on the, you know, the, I don't know if we had any, if you had any in your neighborhood. When I was growing up, we had the Grange Hall. And that's where all of the farmers and the ranches would meet. We would have the different elections and stuff like that there. Let me back up. So anyhow, this man had worked hard. He has done everything right. Now I know that none of us have ever been in the position where we have done everything right, and yet there is some sort of grief that we go through, not because we did anything wrong, but because we did something right. You know, the Word of God is full of illustrations. I'm thinking of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They didn't do anything wrong. Well, okay, telling the king to stuff it, that might get you in a little bit of trouble. We're not going to bow down. We're not going to worship the image. Sorry, ain't happening. And then off to the fiery furnace you go. Sometimes you do everything right. And we look at Joseph, who had been taken, sold into slavery by his dear brothers, and finds himself, the steward of a very rich man's house, and he did everything right. It says that Potiphar, the rich man, he didn't know a thing about what was going on at his house. All he knew was that when he came home from work, at the end of the day, that the table was spread before him, the meal was on the table, the bills were paid, everything was taken care of. Here you go, Potiphar, sir. Here's your meal. Now let me go ahead and get you a nice glass of wine or whatever the case may be. You just stretch out and relax this afternoon, and then you can hit the sack. You don't have a care in the world. I've taken care of it. That's what Joseph did. Didn't do a thing wrong. So Mrs. Potiphar got sight of him. And then she was saying, ooh, look at him. Fresh meat. And so she did her best to get her into her bedroom, but he ran. Bible says, well, in one part it says abstain from the very presence of evil. The other thing is run. Alright? Which is what Joseph did. And yet, what happens? This lady, okay, is he going to tell my husband? I better do a preemptive strike here and tell my husband that he attacked me. Now, let me tell you what being a good steward will do for you. His Potiphar could have ordered Joseph's death just like that. He was a slave. He had no rights. But in the back of his mind, I think Potiphar knew the kind of woman he was married to. And, more importantly, he knew the kind of man
that Joseph was.
And so, to save face, keep Mrs. Potiphar quiet, he's sold back into to slavery. He's sent to go into the prisons. All right? Here are people that didn't do anything wrong. Daniel. All he did was pray. And he knew what his enemies were planning. That his enemies were able to deceive the emperor into declaring a month of no prayer. If you're going to pray, you can only pray to the emperor. Daniel heard this. He went home. Daniel had a top floor. What do they call those?
Penthouse.
Penthouse apartment, since he was the second most powerful guy. And he went up there and he said, I'm going to pray. And he looked around and he saw all the curtains pulled and everything, shut down. He went through, throws open all the windows, pulls back all the curtains. I'm going to pray, and I don't care who hears me pray. Amen? He did nothing wrong. And yet, look what happens. Off to the lion's den for him. Amen? And so, there are times in our lives when we don't do anything wrong and something happens. And so, here we have this rich man. And because he is so prosperous, he has enemies. You don't have to do wrong to people to make them your enemy. All you have to do is just be better at something than they're good at. And so if you've got more farmland, more barns, bigger barns, more slaves, happier slaves, all right, all of that going on, you're gonna find some people that are jealous of you. And so the jealous people, they sent their slaves, their workers of iniquity to go in, and after all, the fields were sown with the finest of wheat. The best. And that's what our God does, by the way. He only uses the best.
Amen.
That's you. Amen. That's me. Alright? No secondhand stuff.
Right.
In the Father's kingdom. So he sows the fields with the best wheat. And then this enemy comes in, and I don't know where he found bags of weed seed, but they went ahead and planted all of this weed, all these weeds amongst the wheat. And nobody was any the wiser until the crop started to grow. And there was the beautiful wheat as it was coming up. That's how you do it right. The rich man, the rich farmer, he is seeing his blessings right there. I planted the best seed. I'm going to reap the best harvest. And then all of a sudden they notice that there's something else popping up in the fields. Weed. Not just one or two, but maybe almost as much weeds as there is wheat. And so the servants come back. Didn't you plant the finest wheat? How is this happening then? And he comes back and he says, well, it's obvious, an enemy. An enemy has done this to us. And so the servants, they just want to know what to do. We didn't work hard like this. You didn't spend all this money and resources, to do all this to raise a crop of weeds. And so you just give us the thumb up, master, and we're going to go out there. We'll pull all those weeds out. And he says, no, if you do that, there's so many weeds out there that if you pull up the weeds, you're going to pull up, you're going to pull up the wheat. So we're going to do this. We're going to wait until it's harvest time. And then I'm going to go ahead and send the reapers into the fields. And they're just going to concentrate on the seeds, on the weeds, excuse me. And they're going to bundle up all of the weeds. And after we've got them all bundled up, I'm going to throw them in the furnace. And I have to deal with those weeds anymore. And then we'll be able to harvest the good wheat that we have sown. And so in verse 36, the disciples come back and they say, Jesus, what were you talking about? Explain this to us. And he answered, the one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. Who's the Son of Man? Jesus. All right. The field is the world. That's easy enough. The world. And the good seed are the children of the kingdom. And I might go on to say, and their good works, and the good influence that they have on all those around them. And just like in the story here, we ourselves were up here. Hopefully we don't have any secret weeds sitting with us here this morning. Okay. I don't see any undercover weeds up here. Alright. But when we go out this door, we have to live with the rest of the world. And yes, there are a lot of believers out of the 250 apartments that are here. I've got to believe that especially people our age. You know, we grew up in a time in our society where, yeah, you're a believer, aren't you? Of course. So I have to believe that there are, you know, probably 250 units out there, and we've got a dozen of them accounted for here. Man, there's got to be another 50, 75, 100, 150, I don't know. There's got to be more believers out there. But the bottom line is they're not all believers. And this is what he says, the field is the word, the good seed is the children of the kingdom, the weeds are the children of the evil one. Okay, it's not talking about the interaction between the good seed and the bad seed, but the very fact that it's all around us. What are we going to do? And so Jesus is saying at the end of the age, he said, and the enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is at the end of the age, and the reapers are the angels. And just as the weeds are collected and burned up with fire, so will it be at the end of the age, where the Son of Man will send his angels, and they will collect out of his kingdom all the causes of sin and all evildoers, and will throw them into the furnace of fire. So, here we are in this field that Jesus has just told us about. Right now, it's pretty easy. We're surrounded by good seeds. We're the children of the kingdom of heaven. Out there, it's a little bit more difficult because people have learned how to act civilized among each other. And so, you might have somebody that is a very precious person that you know, they do fun things. Maybe their activities, their favorite activities are the same as your favorite activities. But we have to be careful because we don't know if they're weeds or not. We don't know that. Because Jesus said, no, there's no way of differentiating between them. We just wait until it's harvest time. So what does that mean to us? That means that everybody that we meet, after we go through that door, we have to presume that they're not a Christian. And so you can fellowship with them, and you can have fun with them, or whatever, but always have that question loaded up, and waiting. You know Jesus. The one that Perry and I use, if you were to die tonight, where would you go? And because that makes people think about eternity. If you were to die tonight, where would you go? Well, I'd go to heaven. Everybody will tell you that. Okay? The next question is the clincher. If you were to die tonight and stand before Jesus and he were to ask you, why should I let you into my heaven? What would you tell him? And that is because there's a lot of people out there that are thinking that their good lives are enough to get them into heaven. But it's not by works of righteousness that we have done, but according to his mercy hath he saved us. Okay? And so, I'm just saying we have to be kind of like undercover, kind of like spies, because we're in the world, but we're not of the world. And the devil has sown the seeds. It says that the weeds are what? The children of the devil. Okay, so he has sown his seeds, but what the devil doesn't know is it only takes a 2-minute prayer to change that weed into wheat. Amen? The Bible does not talk about an unforgivable sin. Well, it talks about one unforgivable sin, and that's attributing the works of the Holy Spirit to Satan. But there aren't too many people. I find that committed by Christians more than anything else. Unbelievers don't know enough to blaspheme the Holy Spirit. But anyhow, we just have to be ready. We just need to know that there's some, that they may look right, they may dress right, they may, smell right, whatever. But does that mean that they're a child of God? And, probably one of the neatest things that can ever happen is you were to say, we've been friends now for a couple of weeks, and I just wanted to ask you, if you were to die tonight, where would you go? And just look for their response. And it's going to be, well, I'm going to go to heaven. All right. And then you follow up. Well, if you were to die tonight and go to heaven and stand before Jesus and he asks you, why should I let you into my heaven? What would your answer be? I told you what my father's answer was. Well, I've been a good father and I've been a good husband and I sent all you kids to college and I did this, that, and the other. And Dad, that's great. But that doesn't get you into heaven. Not by works of righteousness. Good works don't get you into heaven. And I had a chance to pray the sinner's prayer with him. And I believe that when I leave this earth, I will meet him in glory. Why? Because I didn't know if he was a weed or a wheat. But I could not stand the thought of my Father living in a Christless eternity. And so I just took the time to pop those two questions on them. Amen. And those two questions, carefully crafted, because those two questions are going to tell you exactly what somebody is basing their salvation on. Amen? And I've had people come up to me and do the same thing to me. And I don't cut them off. I said, good, they need some good practice. And so, you know, they'll go ahead, I'd go to heaven. Well, okay, and they ask me, what would you say, you know, what would you say when Jesus asks, let me see here. That I've been a good father? I think it's that I've committed my life to Jesus. I've asked Him to forgive my sins and to take away the penalty of my sins. And then I smile at the guy or the gal that she had or they had the courage to ask the question. So I'm not going to belittle them for their courage to step out on faith. Amen? And so, let anyone with ears listen. We don't know what's going on around us. We don't know the burdens that our neighbors are bearing. But we can be that voice of encouragement, that arm of consolation, we can be all of those things. Amen? For a hurting world. And just maybe, you get the chance to ask those two questions, you have the opportunity to lead someone to the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. And I tell you what, there is no better feeling in the world. And I know Terry, as the youth director and about all of our churches that we, ever had, she always made sure that she had the opportunity to sit down with each and every child that came through our children's ministry and youth ministry and had a chance to talk with them and pray with them. And led a whole bunch of kids to a saving knowledge of Jesus. Amen? And she'd get our grandkids, get them before they got too deep into the things of the world, and, because that's what's important. Amen? So now we've got a world around us. Somebody's mom, somebody's dad, somebody's grandpa. They need Jesus too. Amen. Father God.